the book of Micah, chapter 6, and the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10. And I want to read them again for you and quickly rehearse what was said this morning and then take it from there. God is good. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. If you've located Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, say amen.
Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful verse of Scripture. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. Read this with me. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again this evening. We praise you for your word. Thank you for the power and anointing of your Spirit. And Lord, we're just desperate, Lord, tonight for a moving of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we need to be stirred in our minds, Lord. Lord, we want more than just a sermon tonight. We want to hear from heaven. And Father, just minister with your power. Open our heart, open our mind, lead us and guide us. Challenge us, Lord, to draw closer to you and motivate this church, Father, to mobilize itself in the Great Commission to share the gospel with those we come in contact with. Lord, I acknowledge you in the way of this message, the way of this service, to have your way. Direct our path. Be glorified through this. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Hallelujah. And everyone said,
amen.
Hallelujah. I do want you to notice, though, the scripture we also read in beginning this morning, Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Verses 12 and 13, and I do want to read those again also. What does the Lord require of us? And again, my message is titled, What God Wants From You. And it's an interesting title, and so many things we could say today. But what I want to do is sort of summarize all this up and then give you a New Testament perspective on what God wants from you and what He wants from me. There are two commandments that hang all the law and prophets, and who knows what they are. To love God and to love man, to love mankind. And I believe that if we do those two things, everything we need to do, everything God requires from us will be fulfilled in those two main categories. How many understand that in order to love God, self has to conform? Are y'all with me on that? In order to love God the way we should, we've got to deny self. And we're going to get a little bit into that just in a few minutes. But again, what does God require of us? What does He want from you? This morning I give you 3 points, and the focus of this morning was the point where God wants you to love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe if we love our neighbor, we'll preach the gospel to them. How many believe if you love somebody, you'll tell them about Jesus?
Amen.
You'll show them the way of salvation. And we got into Acts chapter 8 where the church was dispersed and everywhere they went, they was preaching the word. Number 2, this morning we talked about being salt and light. And how many believe if you love your neighbor, you'll be salt and light around your neighbor? You'll not just give them a sermon. You'll not just tell them the message of the gospel, but you're going to show them the message of the gospel through our lives. And the 3rd point, and this really resonated in my heart this morning, we need to disciple all people. We need to teach them. And the Great Commission is teach all nations, baptizing them, teaching them that observing all things, how many are with me this morning, is saying teach, go teach, baptize and teach, and the word teach is in there twice. And I believe it's so important that we explain and we show folks the Word of God. We concluded this morning in Matthew 11 where Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and do what? And learn of me. And I believe it's important that we take the time to learn of our Lord. And friends, I want you to know this is a wonderful love letter. 66 books in the Word of God. And I mentioned this morning, you know, it's full. Jesus is in the pages of the book. And if you love the Lord this morning, don't tell me that you can't find time to get into the Word of God and find out more about Him, to learn of Him. And I want to be a disciple. More than a preacher, more than a pastor, I want to be a disciple. Brother Micah, that's a learner, a student of the things of God. You know why? Because I want to know more about Jesus. And here's the thing, friends. I'm already convinced what little I know of Him. Amen. In 30-some years of studying the Bible, everything I've found about Jesus has been good. So I want to discover more good things about Him. And anything I discover about Him, I know it's going to be good because everything about our Lord is good. I like how one writer said, He hath done all things well. How many believe that Jesus, everything He attempted, He done it well? Amen. And we need to learn more about the Lord. Now, that is points 1, 2, and 3. We need to preach the message of the gospel. Brother Richard, we need to be salt, we need to be light, and we need to make disciples. And that is centered on the fact that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we need to look beyond ourselves to someone else. How many recognize it ain't all about us? It ain't all about me, but there's a dying world that needs Jesus, and we're the instrument to take that. He said to be salt of the earth, to be light of the world. Friends, I want you to know we're the only factor, I believe, that can change this world in the right direction. That's the church and children of God today living their life before the world. I mentioned this morning, let me drive this home one more time. We are the opposing force in this world today that, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, stops the man of sin of coming into full power. How many understand that? That's one of the reasons I believe in the rapture of the church. I believe in the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. I believe before this time of trouble, those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the church will be taken out of this world and we're going to be with the Lord. Can you say amen? I want to approach different things tonight. Can I take my time? Can I just preach to y'all a while tonight? Just sharing a little bit of my heart and just, I love Jesus and want to tell somebody about Him. And what does God require of us? And you know, that's sort of a phrase I hesitate. I'm motivated tonight because of my love for Jesus. I want you to know when I got saved, Brother Mike, it was to miss hell. I really did. I wanted to miss hell. I didn't want to go to that awful place. And have me understand there is a real place. There is a real hell. Amen. I don't believe Jesus used vain scare tactics. Real hell. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Not designed for you. Don't go there. If you do, you'll be an intruder. Not made for you. And that was something that, well, you know, made me need to deal with this. But after I fell in love with Jesus, and I guess I need to preach on hell more. How many believe Brother Ted needs to preach on hell more? I don't really preach on it that much. I'll mention it, but I don't really preach on it that much. I don't think much about it. You know why? I'm not going. I know I'm not going. But that's not my motive. I'm not maintaining my walk with God because I'm avoiding hell. I fell in love with Jesus and I want to walk in His ways and I want to please Him. I want to have fellowship with Him. And it ain't, well, what do I have to do? It's all about what I want to do. I want to draw closer to God and I want to share the gospel and I want to teach people the Word of God. Hear me now. I want to be salt. I want to be light. I want to do all these things. Someone's not holding a whip behind my back and saying, you better do this. But don't get me wrong, friends. I believe the disobedient, there is a punishment. Amen. But let's be motivated by the love of God. I've got a joy. And I love the Lord. I want you to locate Romans chapter number 8. The last 4 points, I'm going to pair together in 2 sets of 2. This morning we talked about loving God with or loving man. As one of those commandments and what the Lord wants us to do, what He requires of us. I want to talk about loving God now. And in order to love God and be where we need to be with God, to fellowship and do all that we need to be with God, we need to change. Change is a big word you don't want to hear. Brother Ted, I want to come to church. I want to sit on my pew. I want you to preach me happy, get me shouting, but don't dare make me feel like that I need to change. And in the world today, hallelujah, can I preach to you? Can I just tell you what it's all about? I want you to know that there is enough play church, there is enough religion, there is enough, glory to God, I'm at a loss for words, there is enough compromised Christianity in this world today. Now let me give you a scenario. Church XYZ, who has all these things that are so similar to the world in order, and I understand, and don't get me wrong, I recognize we've got to embrace our culture and we've got to deal with modern times. I understand that. But friends, we've got to hold on to something too. Can you say amen? But we go to church XYZ and it's so much like the world, why would I need to change? And the thought is, well, come as you are. You know, look at us. See how modern and cool and how hip we are. But friends, if there is no motive that we need to take our life and we need to repent of our sins and we need to change, let me tell you this. Why bother? Can you say amen? But I want to be motivated. And don't get me wrong. I think it's okay for our young folks to have a good time. Are y'all with me? But we're not going to delve into sin in order to get those into sin to come out of sin. Are y'all with me today? Glory to God. But if we're so much like the world, how are we going to tell them after we get them in the doors of the church, oh, by the way, you need to change now. So are y'all with me today? But you tell somebody, well, you need to repent. You need to set aside sin. You need to die to self. It's not the popular televangelist sermon today. Listened to a televangelist yesterday for quite an extended period of time, waiting as, and you all have to forgive me, waiting with my judgmental ears to hear him mention the name Jesus. I finally, at the very end of the broadcast, I heard him say the name Jesus one time. I listened about 25 minutes. He talked about God repeatedly. He talked about how God would bless you and how He would prosper you and increase your career and everything else in the world. And he finally mentioned Jesus one time. I was left unimpressed. Say amen. If what we preach ain't about Jesus, Brother Richard, I don't want it. Tell me about Jesus. Don't tell me about religion. Don't tell me about, and don't get me wrong, don't just say God. How many understand that God means a lot in this world today? Muslims have a God. And their God tells them to jump into a cockpit of a plane and run into a building of innocent people. Hear me now. My God don't tell me that. But my God shows me through Jesus Christ to love my neighbor and to do good to my neighbor. My God shows me with the greatest motive in the world, Brother Russell, that He died on the cross that I would have life and have it more abundantly. Tell me about Jesus. That needs to be our focus. Are y'all with me? I've been on my soapbox for a few minutes. I'm going to jump off and I'm going to teach you something. My first prayer, I believe God is asking us and wanting us and requiring of us to do two things. First of all, He wants us to die. Then He wants us to live. And that's points 4 and point 5. If you're in Romans 8, give me an amen. Verse 13 says, "For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify..." Somebody say mortify. A mortician is one that deals with the dead. A mortuary is the place of the dead. To mortify means to kill. We need to die out to self. If you do this, he says here, if you mortify the deeds of the body, read this with me, ye shall live. A lot of folks today walking this life think that I've got life, I'm living it up, you know, and I'm doing what I want to do. I'm my own man. You know what a self-made person is? It's a person with a fool for a designer. I'm not a self-made man. I hope I'm a God-made man. I want to be a Bible-believing Christian, Brother Micah. And so many times we say, I think and I feel, and we've got this, you know, this is the way Mama done it, this is the way Daddy done it. It don't matter what you think, it don't matter what you feel. What matters is what the Word of God says. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Amen. We want to hear from God. Galatians 5, listen to this. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is..." How many can read this or memorize it? "Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." Listen to this. "Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have done what? Have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." You know, this afternoon before, or after service this morning, we went to Popular Springs Church and we baptized Brooke, Livy, and Hallie. And they went to that watery grave. And how many understand that baptism is a symbol of dying out? Amen. Just like Jesus, you die out, you're buried. And I know that when I baptize folks, I don't sprinkle them. How many understand you can't bury somebody with a handful of dirt? Can't do it. And I make sure that when I bring them down, I want every bit of them under the water. And I stocked all three of these girls under the water. And bring them back up. He don't leave us under there. Brooke, I didn't hold you under there too long, did I? It went good today. It went good today. I appreciate the girls. Thank the world of them. I'm glad they've made that step. But here's the thing. You've come up out of that grave now. You've died out. And I mean, what already happened inside, this is just an outward show of an inward work. We're to walk in newness of life. Somebody say amen. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, hear me now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. Which brings me to point 5. How many will agree and says the Lord wants us to die? The Lord wants you to die. That don't sound very pleasant today. Not preaching a funeral, though. I'm going to preach a resurrection right now because he don't want to leave you dead. He wants you to die, but he wants you to come alive too. Amen. John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it how? How many have got an abundant life today? You're not just scraping to get by, but you're trusting in Jesus, and I see the word abundant here. I believe it means vibrant. I believe it means for real. Glory to God. Not just hanging on by the skin of your teeth or by your fingernails. Some folks talk like, well, I'm just holding out to the end. Friends, I'm going to march in the gate when I go to heaven. I believe there's victory for the child of God. I believe there's joy for our hearts and peace for our minds. I believe there should be a bounce in our step. I believe we can have life. Glory to God. This world don't know what life is, and they think that maybe partying or getting out here and taking drugs or doing things is life. But life is knowing the author of life. Life is knowing the Prince of Life. Life is knowing the way, the truth, and the life. And I know Jesus today, He spoke life into me, just like He told Martha and Mary in front of the tomb of Lazarus. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He wants you to live today. I'm living it up. Hallelujah. I wouldn't trade my life for nobody. Glory to God. My life perfect and far from it. But I know what I got. And I ain't for sale. I'm not up for negotiation. Say amen. Someone say praise the Lord. The central truth of the whole Word of God is John 3:16. Quote it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting what? Life. Now, let's go to verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And that means that might be given life. How many, you're starting on your eternal life already. You're already tasting. You're already sampling. And friends, I want you to know I love the Lord tonight. And what I find in Jesus, I'm going to get a whole lot of when I get to heaven. Amen. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's pretty plain, isn't it? With Jesus you live. Without Jesus, you die. And I believe the Lord can speak life into any situation. How many can testify and say, Brother Ted, I've seen God, praise the Lord, enter a situation that seemed hopeless and helpless and breathe life into something that looked impossible. Just like the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37 when He said, Son of man, prophesy unto these bones. Oh, and He spoke and they started coming together, bone to His bone. He said, well, prophesy and let flesh cover them and sinews and skin and do that. And He did, and God equipped them with skin and flesh. He said, okay, Now it's time for the wind to blow. We need the wind to blow. I know this morning it was pouring the rain outside, and I'm in a total agreement with Brother Michael. We needed to rain on the inside in the Lord the way it was raining on the outside. But I was sitting right here playing the bass, looking over at that plant right there, and I noticed it flopping all over the place as the wind was blowing. Now, friends, I wasn't feeling it in here, but I was seeing the evidence of the wind blowing. Although I didn't see or feel the wind, I could see the result of it. And I want you to know, in the life of a child of God, you can see the result of the wind blowing in their soul and in their spirit. When God moves you, something's going to be ruffled. Something's going to be moved. Glory to God. And others will see the result of God's wind blowing in your life. Because He's breathing life into you. Speak unto those bones. Speak unto those corpses. As they lay there lifeless, oh wind, blow upon them and breathe upon them. And I want you to know God resuscitated, just like God did Adam. God formed man out of the dust of the earth, but he lay there a lifeless corpse until something happened. Until God Himself, with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I want you to know He didn't just speak life into Adam. Are y'all with me? He spoke light into existence. He spoke the world. He divided the firmament from the land, and He done all these different steps of creation. But when it come to man, He had a personal touch that with His hands He formed man, and with His lips He breathed into man and resuscitated him, and he became a living soul made in the image of God, made like Him. Glory to God. He give life to man. And I want you to know today that in Jesus Christ, we are resuscitated. We, according to Ephesians 2, who were dead in trespasses and sin, He quickened us and He brought us back to life. By grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourself. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. If I'm going to brag today, I'm going to brag in my Savior, in my Lord, and what He's done. I'm going to tell you about the cross of Calvary and how my sins were nailed there. He died that I might live. Amen. Receive life. Receive life. I remember growing up, my mama worked at a pizza place. I think I shared this with the church. I almost been several months ago. But my mom worked at this pizza place. It's pretty good because she brings pizza home all the time. Countless times, bring home pizza and a six-pack of ice cold Pepsi. Someone say, praise the Lord. That's good preaching. That's a big one. But there was one time she told me, she said that she was at work, and she said she cut her hand really, really bad with a knife. And she's sitting there holding it to keep it from bleeding. And he said a man walked over to her and quoted Ezekiel 16:6. Now, how many of you know what Ezekiel 16:6 says? And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And I want you to know, Mom said that when that man done that, the bleeding quit. How many recognize that we could have just said in the name of Jesus, still work? And it's interesting, though, because if you read the story in Ezekiel 16 there about that, it's referring to God's mercy on the children of Israel and on the city of Jerusalem. And He said, just like a woman would birth a baby, not wanting that baby and abandoning that baby after birth and all. Don't be grossed out on me, but this is how this is portrayed. Laying there on the side of the road, unswaddled, unsalted, left abandoned there. He said, that's the way you were, and I found you in that condition. And when I passed by, God is saying, I saw you there. Hallelujah. How many are glad Jesus passed by you? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad He passed by my way. I'm so glad that when He seen me in my sin, He didn't leave me in my sin, but He picked me up and He washed me off and He cleansed me and He done a work in me. I'm thankful for my Savior tonight because I was dead. What chance is there of a baby on the side of the road abandoned by its mother? Same for me and you. By yourself, you will die lost and you will go to the devil's hell. You have no strength in yourself. Amen. Just like a baby has no strength within itself. Little Jackson back there couldn't make it unless somebody took care of it. Amen. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. And you know, the Lord looked at Israel and Jerusalem. Hallelujah. My goodness, I feel the power of God in this place tonight. That's the way He looks at us. And He loves us. And again, I can't fathom someone being mean to a child. Someone say amen. But there's evil, devious people in this world that are cruel. You know, I can't picture that. I can't picture a mother not wanting the baby and all this stuff. But that's this life. Isaiah said, can a woman forget her sucking child that she'll not have compassion on the son of her womb? She might forget, but God says, I will not forget you regardless. But there's something about the blood. The Bible says that life is in the blood. Hebrews, quoting Leviticus, says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There must be the shedding of blood, the giving of life, because life is in the blood. In order to atone for sin, life must be took. And how many understand the greatest sacrifice was Jesus on the cross of Calvary, in which He shed His wonderful life's blood, allowing it to pour out and spill out on the ground. And I don't really like the word spill. He shed. Spill has the idea of an accidental or something. But He shed His blood. He allowed it to happen. He controlled the situation and He went through it for me and you. Are y'all with me? But in order to have life, we've got to have the shedding of blood. And Jesus provided that. Can you say amen? I want you to locate Ezekiel 33. I quoted 16 for you. Ezekiel 33, and we're going to ask this question tonight. Can I preach for a while? I'm feeling good tonight. I want to know what God wants of us. He wants us to die. Then He wants us to live. Not a contradiction. Understand where I'm going tonight. And His life is wonderful. Ezekiel 33 and 11. And thinking on the heart of God tonight, this is going to come into a clearer view by the time we get to the end of the message, but thinking on the heart of God tonight, He wants you. He loves you. Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. And here's the question. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Church, I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Why would you choose, or me, why would I choose the ways of death when we know the way of life? To me, it's silly to consider when I look at the ways of God and the ways of the world. Help me understand that in the ways of the world, there's sorrow, there's headaches, there's heartaches. Partying may endure for a night, but headache cometh in the morning. Amen. That's Brother Ted Stidham's version there. You won't find that in the Bible. There's always the after effect. Help me understand the water that Jesus gives us, though, won't give you a hangover the next day, but He says, if you drink of the well, I'll give you. The water that I give you will be in you a well, springing up, John chapter 4, into everlasting life. So we need His well. Say amen. But this is an interesting question. Why would you die? What more could Jesus have done to pay for your and my sin debt? What more could He have done to demonstrate the depth of His love? But to choose a time frame in which the normal form of capital punishment was at the height of its cruelty. He didn't come in the 21st century and die by lethal injection on a hospital gurney somewhere. Are y'all with me? He didn't come during Napoleon and die of a guillotine that's over just like that. Not even by firing squad, not by the electric chair, but a 6 hour. And it could have lasted longer, but He was allowed to die early. Cruel, grueling, and He done this and chose this time for many reasons, but for one reason was to demonstrate how much He loved you. How many know how much God loves us? He loves us this much. That He died on the cross for us to be saved. Locate 1 Samuel chapter 15. Hallelujah. He wants us to die, but He don't want us to stay in the grave. He wants us also to live. The last set, the last two, I'm going to put these together. I could quote this, but I want you to read 1 Samuel 15 with me. When Saul come back from his battle with the Amalekites, thinking that he had done the will of God, I guess he done his version of what the will of God he thought he'd get by with. Hallelujah. How many in here, if you were an employer? Good and quiet. It means you're listening. How many if you were an employer? You'd give a raise to the employee that served you the way you serve God. I figured somebody would start shouting when I said that. Something to think about, isn't it? But we've got this idea, oh, the Lord will just take anything. I'll just throw it up, you know, and it's good enough, you know. And oftentimes, and Brother Mike, I'm going to have to say, there's times I'm guilty too. Can I confess to you? We don't always serve the Lord the way we should. But I question whether or not I would hire and give a raise to an employee like me. So we need to get on the ball a little better. Amen. But notice what he says here. He come back and I've obeyed the Lord, Samuel. Really, have you now? Well, what's this I hear? Notice verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord, First Samuel 15:22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better. There is no substitute for obedience. To obey is better to sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry, iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And somebody say, praise the Lord. There is no substitute for obeying God. You can't substitute sacrifice for obeying God. You've got the attitude, well, you know, I'm not going to obey God, but I'll throw a few extra dollars in the offering and that'll offset it and it'll be all right. How many understand that don't work? God don't need your money. Hear me now. God wants you to obey Him. Praise the Lord. John chapter 14. By this know we that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. I believe God wants us to obey Him. And this last point goes with obeying. He wants us to love and fellowship with Him. I believe if we can get in church and just get a better glimpse of God, have those services that we have the power of God's Spirit doing the work, it'll generate a hunger in us. We'll want more. But here's the thing. If we keep going and going and being content with less than the full gospel and less than everything that He has for us, how many understand we'll get used to that? Amen. Don't get quiet. You know, if three people raise their hands, someone says, boy, we had a good service, didn't we? Hear me now. It's what you get used to. Well, for weeks we only had two people to raise their hand. You know, today, son, we had three people to raise their hand. Maybe next week we'll have four people to raise their hand. How many understand God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth? He wants the power of the Holy Ghost to intervene, break and destroy every yoke. He wants the gifts of the Spirit in operation. God wants miracles to happen in our midst. I believe it's still here. I do believe that. Now, let me say something here. And I've got this in my notes. Listen to this. Can we say that we believe what we don't practice? Some say we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We just don't practice. I'm going to propose to you that if we don't practice them, we don't really believe in them. I believe that we will practice what we really believe. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe in working it up and goosing it up and trying to fabricate it. I believe it needs to stem and flow from a sincere heart. And I believe when it's real and when it's hungry and folks get a little taste and get a little sample, they'll want more. And I believe God's getting ready to pour it out upon us. I really believe that. Jesus suffered on the cross to gain you to Himself for eternity. I've often used this in preaching. I believe it's Matthew 13, verse 44, in which it says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure in a field. That when a man has found that, for joy thereof," what does it say? What does he do? He goes and sells what? Sells everything. Brother Russell, he sells all. He sells everything in order to get the money to come back and buy the field, therefore gaining the treasure in the field. And don't you know, for years I looked at that and I thought, well, Lord, that's us. We need to sell out. We need to give all that we can gain you. But I'll tell you, friends, it's not just that. It is that. But that's Jesus paying the price, giving all on Calvary in order to buy the whole field. How many believe He bought the whole field?
Amen.
To gain a relatively small treasure in the field. But you know what that also tells me? If that's the case, we're the treasure. What does God think of me? And what does God think of you? Oh, He said in Malachi, I'm getting worked up here a little bit. He said in Malachi 3, in that day, verse 16, I believe, when I make up my jewels. You know what you are to God? According to Deuteronomy, you're a special treasure above all the nations that are on the face of the earth. Think about that. John 14, verse 1. I've quoted this, and I could quote it to you, but you need to read this with me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What does He say here? In my Father's house are many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. It's interesting, mansions here, in some translations is rooms, and I've heard people complain about those translations, but friends, a room with God is better than a mansion of the world. Can you agree to that? But in the Father's house, the place for you. And what Jesus is saying here is that I want to spend eternity with you. Notice this next verse. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And notice what He says here, and receive you unto myself. Notice He says that where I am, there you may be also. How many can see the heart of God in this verse and His desire to have eternal fellowship with man? How many can see that? I believe that. He is saying here that He's going to descend from heaven. I got this other verse down here. And what He's going to do is gather us to Him. It says, forever we will be with the Lord. And that last verse of that chapter in 1 Thessalonians, it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. How many are looking forward to being with Jesus for all of eternity? So what does the Lord require of us? He wants us to obey, love, and fellowship with Him. Now this goes back to our starting scripture in Micah, where He tells us to do what? To walk humbly with God. And I believe if we walk with Him, we'll be satisfied. Every need will be met. How many times people in this life will search from one job to another, one relationship to another? The woman at the well had been through 5 husbands. She was on her 6th boyfriend, cohabitating with him, I am saying. One relationship after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. Yet she did not find the fulfilling, Brother Larry, that she needed until she found Jesus. And what Jesus is saying, if you drink of my water, I'll quench that thirst on the inside. Nothing else can quench that thirst except Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Sister Betty, will you come to the piano tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. This I know. Jesus is good. And whatever you have need of this evening, He's able to meet that need and do the work in your life. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You this evening. We praise You this evening. Father, thank You for Your holy, precious, infallible Word. Thank You, Lord, that You're not the tyrant, the taskmaster, Lord, that requires so much of us. But Lord, You just want us to love You and to love our neighbor. And Lord, You just want us to live in Your presence. No, we know You desire to be with us. And Lord, be with us now in spirit. Just guide us into the closer walk, Lord. We know You want us to have Your way in every heart and life. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's come and gather on the altar tonight. Find a place and pray. Call upon Jesus.